Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:09 British Summertime. Today is May 7th. Well, this has been a very interesting day, particularly in the bond markets. But let's first have a look at what's been happening in stock markets. And this has probably been the biggest down day for the Nasdaq in about a month when it was close to about the 1200 mark. So certainly not game, set, and match, but it could mean that we're moving into a consolidation, and we did see the Dow and the S&P down over 1%. Europe was relatively mixed, with the DAX down over 1.5%, and the same with the Italian index. And they have been two of the better performers on a relative basis in the region. Japan was back today following their Golden Week, and the market was up over 400 points. That's 4.5%, pushing above that 9,000 level. And if it sustains this is an upward break from a well-defined trading range. So this is another market breaking up from what has been approximately a 6-month base. We continue to see a world that is divided between laggards and leaders. And the leading markets are not only important from the point of view that they are putting in some of the best percentage performances over the last 8 or 9 weeks, but more importantly, that they've led on the upside, which means that they're the primary destination for investment flows in this environment. And that is a pointer to where people will be likely to invest in any recovery type of situation. So we're looking at emerging Asia led by China and commodity producing Latin America led by countries such as Brazil to lead in a recovery situation, and that is certainly being borne out by stock market performance in here at the moment. Now, markets are becoming increasingly overextended, and we are looking at the increased potential that we're going to see a pullback and consolidation of recent gains. And where markets find support relative to where their lows are is going to give us a very good indication of the shape of the recovery. And again, the world is split into two very distinct halves, because there are a large number of emerging markets which have broken upwards from these bases and have considerable room to consolidate above those bases. They are standing a much better chance of forming consistent uptrends where there's a big difference between supply and demand going forward. But because of the economic troubles that we have in the developed world, primarily in the USA and Europe and Japan, and probably Japan to a lesser extent, to be fair, then their march upwards is likely to take longer. That the difference between supply and demand, in other words, is going to be more of a contest, and those markets are likely to remain more volatile. And we can base that argument just on the type of activity that we've seen to date, because they have been slower to rally and haven't rallied as much, even though there has been a marked change in sentiment over the last 8 weeks. Now, of course, we are now starting to see that because we've had markets moving to the upside so convincingly over the last almost 9 consecutive weeks, then we are now starting to see people coming out with bullish forecasts, and the talk of a recovery is turning more towards it being an inevitability rather than a possibility. And that is not unsurprising, given the fact that we have been going up now for 9 consecutive weeks in a number of markets. Where these markets find support is going to be the really big issue. And we're just not there yet, because this is a remains consistent, and the downward, even though markets are a little bit weaker today, that's just not enough on its own to signal that this very good move is over. And really, what we need to see is that these markets move down in a significant way and break this progression of consecutive moves on the upside. So it will take more than a couple of days to break this very strong move. We did see that some of the leading markets pulled back, consolidated, and are now pushing back up to new high ground. So they have taken a breather. We haven't seen that same kind of volatile pullback in some of the laggard markets, but that can't be ruled out. So, in short, the stock markets are still rallying, they remain consistent, and we don't have any evidence yet that they are about to top out for a pullback and consolidation, but it does appear to be only a matter of time before we do get that signal, and we will know what it looks like when it appears. I mentioned government bonds because we see that The US Treasury is down over 2 full points today, and it's back to 120 almost even. Not only is 120 a round number, but it is a complete retracement of the remarkable advance that Treasuries had up to that 142 level from September through October and November. And that's important. We've also seen that there's commonality in this bond move because we're seeing that Eurobonds broke downwards today, that the Australian 10-year is down on consecutive days and does appear now to be breaking down from this top formation. The Canadian 10-year is also pressuring the lower side of its range. Gilts, where we know that the Bank of England has been most active in supporting that market, rallied well off its lows today and remains, I think, the one that is least likely to trend consistently on the downside. This kind of move can be interpreted in a number of different ways. We've been bearish of the government bond market, as subscribers be well aware, for a considerable period of time because yields are at such remarkably low levels. The quantitative easing program that has been instituted in a large number and probably an increasing number of countries can be viewed in a number of ways. On the one hand, it could be said that it has been highly successful in supporting these government bond prices because it has taken them so long to break down. On the other hand, it could also be viewed as the fact that investors are starting to look at this thing and saying, well, we don't need to have our money in these government bonds with such remarkably low yields anymore because stock markets are performing and commodity markets are performing. In other words, sentiment has returned to somewhat more optimistic, and people are starting to look around and say, well, where can I put my money to get some sort of return rather than putting it into the short end of the curve and get virtually nothing for my investment, or put it into the long end of the curve and get approximately 3 to 4%, depending on your market. The US Treasury has retraced in price terms its entire advance, and we're seeing that on a yield basis, it's pushing back up towards the lower side of that range that extended for the majority of 2008. That's a potential area of resistance, and 120 is a potential area of support for the market. But the risks are towards further weakness in the government bond prices. And with other markets turning towards outperformance, then there is certainly less of a need to hold these government bonds beyond the very short term. And the bid that has been under that market, I think, is rapidly decreasing. So there is significant room, I think, over the short, medium, or longer term for government bond prices to come significantly lower because they were pricing in absolute apocalypse. And frankly, we're in the post-apocalyptic world now, and we are moving towards rebuilding. We are looking at the biggest attempted reflation in the history of the world, and so far, that money is flowing into stock markets and it's flowing into commodities. It may flow into property at some point, but since that is the market that burst, it is probably the least likely to rebound very quickly. And because we have such lagging data from the property markets, it won't be evident for well after that market bottoms. Looking at stock markets, looking at commodity markets, they have certainly bottomed. When we see the industrial metal complex, which led in 2003, it's also performing remarkably well. The copper price rallied back up to 221 today. It's pulled back, it's finished down on the day, but this does look like a consolidation of its recent gains with potential to push on the upside. Zinc has already broken on the upside. Tin is also looking very firm. And the same can be said for the entire industrial metal complex. In the soft commodities, we see that cocoa is strong, sugar is strong, cotton is strong, orange juice is strong. Soybeans is breaking upwards. These grains appear to be basing and are pressuring the upper side of their ranges. So liquidity is certainly finding its way into that market. Now, they're more difficult to trade on a medium-term horizon because the rolls on some of these contangos are not justified by the interest rates that are out there at the moment. But these prices are pushing to the upside. We are certainly seeing interest in the commodity sector, not just in metals, but across the boards. And that brings us to the precious metal market. And silver had an excellent day yesterday. It pushed just above $14 today, finished below that level, but is looking quite firm. Gold has finished the day relatively unchanged, but has had some very good moves to the upside over the last few days. When we look at some of the ratios in the precious metal markets, we see that, for example, silver is, on a relative basis, has bottomed out against gold, or gold has topped out against silver. And there is a distinct possibility that we're going to see silver and platinum outperforming gold over the medium term as those massively oversold on a relative basis conditions are unwound and we see these markets moving back to something of a relative equilibrium. But when we look at gold relative to the other safe havens that it has been lumped in with over the last 6 months, it is now outperforming. Treasuries have retraced their entire advance and look like they're going to come lower. The yen has steadied considerably over the last couple of weeks, but still has significant room to move lower. And the dollar, when we look at it, particularly against some of the minor currencies, such as the Norwegian crown or the Swedish crown, krona, or the Singapore dollar or the Canadian dollar, Australian dollar, so relative, not what we could deem reserve currencies, but the other currencies that are from significantly important countries, such as ones that haven't been relatively affected by the credit crisis, or commodity producers which continue to have surpluses or have good chances of producing surpluses again, then we're seeing significant topping activity in the dollar. So gold has morphed once more and is now performing more in line with stock markets. When oil was appreciating last year, it was moving up with oil. When we needed a safe haven, gold was also appreciating. And in the early part of this rally, we saw that gold underperformed, but now is firming up once more, which would suggest that the people who wanted to sell gold to buy stock markets have done so. And the tide may be turning in this awkward situation that gold has been in. And people may now be looking at it as a hedge against quantitative easing. So they're selling bonds and potentially buying precious metals. And this is important because gold has now been consolidating for more than a year. And when we look back at the consolidations that gold has had over the last 7 or 8 years, these big consolidations where it's gone sideways and been incredibly volatile have lasted in the region of a year to 18 months. So if it is going to remain consistent on that basis, then we can expect it to push back up towards its highs over the coming months and could potentially break to the upside. So it is certainly one to watch, but as with all commodities, will be best bought following corrections because they are so remarkably volatile. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.